Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to tell you something that is not meant to be offensive, but I'll say it anyway. Get a life. That actually is a big theme throughout the Bible. Get a life. It's pretty common these days, isn't it, when somebody doesn't seem to appreciate what really matters, we say to them, get a life, mate. They seem to focus on trivial things. They ignore major things. One example you will have seen fairly often, as I've seen, it happens when people are so fanatically attached to their sport that their life is their sport. And if that sport can't continue, they feel depressed. They feel even worse than depressed. So get a life means get a grip on reality, mate. Get a grip on what really counts. Get your priorities right. Stop making trivial things important. And you know what? The Bible agrees. The gospel is essentially saying to everybody, get a life. Or in the words that you'll be more familiar with, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Get life, get eternal life, get a life that matters, not just for this age, but for the age to come, a life with God. And as you know, the gospel says over and over again that human beings have their priorities all wrong. And so it urges us to lay hold of true life. Life that really satisfies. Life that will never disappoint us. Life that is secure and endless. And because it is God's word, the Bible is right. It can't lead us astray. It knows what the truth is on every subject, including get a life. So, friends, let's think about this theme in the Bible, get a life, and I want to just suggest to you this morning three of its important aspects. The Bible teaches three things in particular about get a life. Number one, you've got to know the wrong place. Don't go looking in a wrong place. Number two, you've got to know the right place. And number three, you've got to know the right time. So let's take that first one. Know the wrong place. Do you know there are many people who look in the wrong place for real life? I'll give you a couple of examples. Life is not found in your wardrobe. Life has nothing to do with the abundance of top quality designer label clothing. But yet it's surprising many people think it is. They think it'd be great to wear something new and different every day. One example I can never forget, and you probably recall it as well, is for a lady named Imelda Marcos. Does that ring a bell to any of you? She was the wife of the Philippines president. I think his name was Ferdinand from memory. So in the 1970s, 1980s, she was really big on life is clothing. I did the research. Originally, I thought she had 400 pairs of shoes. I checked it yesterday or the day before. She owned 1,060 pairs of shoes. She also owned 15 mink coats. And given that they're about 10 grand a pop, that gives you an idea. She owned, and there's a picture on Google search if you want it, 888 leather handbags. Well, I suggest most people would have fallen a fair bit short of that. Yet they still like to have plenty to choose from. Stylish outfits for every occasion. They think that life is about appearance and it's about clothing. But God disagrees. Do you remember God's words in Matthew 6? I tell you, says the Lord, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body is more than clothes. Well, Imelda Marcos hadn't caught on to that. A second thing is that life is not found in riches. Life is not all about the abundance of material things, whether it's real estate, whether it's cars, bank deposits, shares, business empires, and on it goes. It's very easy to envy rich people and look at them and think, well, what a life that bloke's got. Look at all the money. Look at all the property. In fact, I think that Australian culture has for some years now been pretty much based on that idea, isn't it? You've heard that saying, would $1 million make a difference? And that's why people gamble so much. They actually believe the lie that money will buy them a life. They think life means more dollars, bigger houses, a better address, better cars, lavish holidays, and a huge share portfolio. But God disagrees strongly. Be on your guard, says the Lord, against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. That was in our reading this morning. Another wrong place is in ease and leisure. Life is not found in ease and leisure. Many people are not too much worried about the money. Rather, what they're after is a carefree lifestyle. They live for self-gratification, in other words. And this attitude can take various forms. A very subtle one is seen when someone makes a legitimate fortune. For example, sometimes rich parents leave a fortune to their children in a will. And so they have no need to work anymore. And for that sort of person, life, it's all laid back, it's all pleasure, it's all ease. Well, that sort of man was described in our Bible reading this morning. Remember in Luke chapter 12? His business boomed, so he retired with his millions. And what was he thinking? Well, the text of the Bible tells us. He was thinking, I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But he was wrong. So God said to him, you fool. That's a pretty straight answer. You fool. You fool, this very night, your life that you are so pleased with will be gone. Your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Now where is your life? I think a more sinister form of this problem is seen in Australia, not the only country at all, but Australia certainly has it, is what I would call the bludger. He's worked out how to live on social service payments alone. He knows how to milk the system. And so that taxpayers foot the bill for his endless days of easygoing, days on the beach or whatever. So for him, the phrase get a life means go and enjoy the beach, go and enjoy the surf, go and live in the bush. Life for him means surfing and sleeping while the real world is absolutely irrelevant to him. But you know what the Bible says to that? The Bible says rather than do that, you'd be better off to go to a funeral. Pretty straight shooting, the Bible. You find that in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Here's what God says. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. What our Lord is saying there, I think, is this. If you go to a funeral, you are forced to face the reality of death. You are forced to think about your life and how much longer are you going to have in this life? And where is this life heading? Where is it taking you to? A funeral will tell you that. That's why it's better to go to a funeral than to a house of feasting. Here's another interesting one, and the Bible also addresses that. Where do you not find life? Life is not found in religion. Personally, I think one of the saddest things is where people turn to religion, as if religion is God. They turn to religion, thinking that that's where they can find life. Pick a religion, any religion, and that's still true. Life is not found in religion. And whether that religion is Judaism, whether it's Islam, whether it's Christianity, whether it's Catholicism or Protestantism or Pentecostalism, whether it's Orthodoxy, Neo-Orthodoxy or Anti-Orthodoxy, it doesn't make any difference. You will not get life in religion. And you might remember that Jesus made this point very clear to his fellow Jews. In his words recorded in John chapter 5, Jesus said this, "You religious people, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." It's no good clutching your Bible. It's no good clutching your Koran. It's no good clutching anything else, any religious documents. None of them will give you life. Jesus alone will give you life. How sad it was in the days when Jesus walked on the earth. He was surrounded by his fellow countrymen, fellow Jews, and they were seeking for life in their religion, and Jesus corrected them, "You can't do it." So regardless of whether you are zealously religious for the Koran or the Bible or the Aboriginal Dreamtime legends, life is not found in any of them. Life is only found in Jesus, in a personal relationship with him. And the New Testament makes that clear over and over again. You remember Christ's words, "I am the way," how's it go, "and the truth and the life." I am the life. Not your religion, not your religious books, not your religious friends, not your religious practices. "I am the life," said Jesus. "Come to me and I will give you life." You know, there are plenty of people who are willing to come to religion. They'll even come to the true religion of the Bible, but they're not willing to come to Christ. They still need to be told, "Get a life." The tragedy is they think that they have life in their religious activities. Their religion is their life, but you know what the New Testament says? And it'll be their death as well. The world has no shortage of people who are either dead in their religion or dead in their irreligion. Both are there. Another place where you won't find life, life is not where the crowd is. Don't follow the majority, or as they say, don't go with the flow. Because of willful ignorance, there are many people who are really impressed by big crowds, aren't they? Well, Jesus gave a very strong warning about that crowd fallacy. Remember his words are recorded in Matthew 7. "Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction." That's where the crowd's going. "And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Well, there's a lot more things could be said about the places not to go to for life, but having done that at least briefly, let me go to the other side of it. Let's know the right place. And I'm sure you'd agree, friends, the Bible is also very clear on this. It is only in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that true life is found. You need to know Jesus to have life and to know life. Do you know one of the first things that John the Apostle wrote, one of his first few words in the start of his gospel, when he described Jesus in the fourth verse of the first chapter of his gospel, he said this, as he described Jesus, "In him was life." And then he went on to say, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So if I could put it this way and summarise it, get a life means, in terms of the New Testament, get serious about Jesus. Get a life. Get serious with Christ. Apart from him, there is no life. There's only rebellion. There's only running away from God, running away from the truth. And the result of that is not life, it's eternal death. Apart from Jesus, there is no peace with God, there's no forgiveness, there's no everlasting joy. Do you remember how Jesus summed all that up? What a powerful statement. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a very, very potent statement that we need to reflect on. So the question arises then, how can we get this life in Jesus? Well, first of all, it's a free gift. It's not something you or I can earn. It's not something we can pay for or even try to pay for. The Bible tells us repeatedly God is the giver of life. He's not the seller or the trader of life. He gives it as a free gift. It's not a business arrangement. It's purely free grace. You don't give something to God in exchange for life in return. No, you simply receive it as a free gift. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. Remember how Paul summarizes this in Romans 6? He says, the wages of sin, the payment that's due to sin, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And there's also that phrase that's expressed again in John's Gospel, chapter 5, for just as the Father raises the dead, and notice this next statement, and gives them life, he gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whomever he wishes. So the big question for every one of us is, am I one of them? Has the Son of God raised me to new life from the dead? Have I received this free gift from him? Well, the way to answer that is told to us in the Gospel. How do we have that life? It's obtained by believing. Friends, you cannot expect God's blessing if you treat him as a liar. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? But that's reality. But that's what refusing to believe God means. You treat him as a liar. Jesus made that very clear. Again in John's Gospel, chapter 5, truly, truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes it, and believes him who sent me, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. He's repeating what has already been said in, I still think it's the best known verse in the whole Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So friends, let me repeat it again. True life comes from believing everything in God's word. You and I cannot pick and choose what we like in the word of God and ditch the rest. That's treating God like a liar. It's God's word. We're not free to ditch it. We're not free to pick and choose. We either believe God or we don't. But you know, we saw a bad example of that, didn't we? Just after Jesus had fed people in the miracle of the loaves and fishes, Jesus fed them, a great crowd of people, and the next day he taught them some great truths. They followed him around the other side of the lake, and he was teaching, and they were listening to him for a while. They soon got sick of that. They didn't like what Jesus was saying. And they refused to believe. They walked away. All except the 12 people, the 12 disciples who became the apostles originally. So when there's only 12 left, after thousands went with him originally, looks at the 12 and says, "Would you like to go away also?" "Will you also go away?" said Jesus. "Will you also pick and choose what you believe or don't believe?" The answer of Peter is wonderful. Remember his words? "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." That's how we have eternal life. We hear the word of God, we believe it. Friends, if you want that life that comes from Jesus, you must have it on his terms, and so must I. That means we need to believe every word that comes from the mouth of God. There's no other way to get a life. Again, Jesus said that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." One last feature of get a life is this knowing the right time. We've looked at the wrong place to look. We've looked at the right place to look in Christ and having faith in him. What about the right time? You know, the right time to believe in Jesus is right now. The New Testament is extremely clear on that, and repeatedly so. In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul sums it up. "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Do you know the most dangerous thing you and I can do is to delay? The Lord is willing to give you and I eternal life right now, but he may not be willing tomorrow. In fact, there is no guarantee you and I will have it tomorrow. Now is the time to believe. None of us knows the number of our days on this earth, and it's very foolish to presume beyond the present. You know the opportunity to get a life is with you now, so lay hold of it now. You know the door of heaven is open now, so the New Testament says, enter it now. And Jesus says, "I am the door. I am that door. No one comes to the Father except through me." You know what? You can never be too young to commit yourself to Christ. That's wonderful news for all of our children. You can never be too young. But tragically, you can be too old. As I get older, friends, I'm 79 this year. Maybe I'm only a pup compared to some of you, I don't know. But I can feel a big difference. I can still think of how I was fit and young and strong, played every sport, rode big motorbikes, all the rest of it when I was 19, 20. Drove my father's big trucks, loved it. I couldn't possibly do it now. You can be too old to do a lot of things, and one of them is to come to faith in Christ. You can lose the ability to reason, the ability to think straight. Sadly, and you see it all around you, people can go senile. They can have a stroke. They can suffer from dementia. These things can happen with age, and that's exactly what the Bible tells us about. Do you remember how Ecclesiastes finishes, that last chapter 12? Here's the advice of the wise man. Ecclesiastes is about wisdom. Here's the advice of that book right at the end. Remember your Creator. How does it go on? In the days of your youth. And then he keeps going. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, "I find no pleasure in them. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not very well, not very strong. I'm not very clear." Friends, you can never have true life too soon, but you can leave it too late. You can blow it. And the Bible is very, very candid on this. You can miss your opportunity. Right now, Christ says to all of us, "Come unto me and I will give you life." Not "I might" or "I could" or "I'll think about it." "Come unto me and I will give you life." Now's the time to come. But if you refuse, you may hear the opposite statement Jesus made in his own day to some people who wouldn't come. What did he say to them? Depart from me, I never knew you. So friends, let's be encouraged. God is willing to forgive now, but his spirit will not strive with men forever. God is willing to be merciful now, but the Bible also says he has fixed a day when mercy finishes. He has fixed a day of judgment. And so I'll close with this. The Bible's advice to all of us is get a life. Get a life, get it in Jesus, and get it now. And the words of John 17, I think, are probably a good summary. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. May we all possess that life in abundance, friends. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we do truly praise you and thank you that your word is so clear on the things that really matter. It's clear on everything it speaks about, but it especially speaks on getting life, true life. And it shows us the truth we've been thinking about this morning, that true life is found in Jesus alone. And the way to get that faith is through belief in him. And the time to get it is now, while we still have that time. Father, may it be that you search us all out. For those of us here, hopefully all of us who have that life, we give you sincere praise. But Lord, if there's any one of us, young or old, that is doubtful, or maybe not yet having that life, Father, send your spirit powerfully into our lives that we become your people. Not just in this age, but for the ages to come. We ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen.